Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. In case you missed it last week, the Startcast is no more, other than this is basically the same show. We're just calling it something new and ditching the episode numbers, but otherwise it's the same show you know and love. Now you can just listen to it on Spotify. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers, James.
Hello.
Matt.
Yo.
And Brody.
Hello.
Welcome back for a new year and a new run of the initial run of the Press Start Podcast, I guess.
Yeah, it's Brody, great to debut.
Are you enjoying that Oculus that you bought on Black Friday last year?
I played it for the first time probably a week ago.
Okay.
I got through the first episode.
I guess you didn't have to dust it off because you hadn't taken it out of the box yet?
No, it was brand spanker, still out of the box. I had to work out how to charge it and all that sort of stuff because it had obviously... hadn't held its charge in the box.
But it was the Quest you bought, right? Like the one that
I bought the Quest,
require cables.
So I set that up. It came with the first three episodes of the Vader Immortal game, so I've played one episode of that, and that was good fun, but, you know, time hasn't been something I've had an abundance of, so I look forward to getting back to it soon, but it has been a largely wasteful purchase so far. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on Beat Saber. So it wasn't something about you getting sick or anything like that. It was
it's just been
a time thing.
Yeah, super flat chat. So once work dies down a bit and I find myself with a bit more time, I'll certainly sit down. Actually, I bought Moss the other day because it was on special. I thought I want to play Moss, but I now realize I probably never will play Moss. But that's okay. I have it. That's the point. I have it.
I don't know if we talked about it late last year, but I played a bit of Astrobot on the PSVR, and I was amazed like how good that game was. Like, I feel like that kind of plays the same way that Moss plays based on what I've seen of Moss. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
But that kind of, you're like a godlike entity when you're like looking down over the world and controlling a little player character in that space, I think is a really kind of neat take on VR.
Yeah. Those are definitely the coolest examples I've seen of VR so far. Obviously, aside from things like Super Hot and stuff like that. But
really clever uses of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Matt, we've had a break on the podcast, but it feels like it's been a particularly long time since we've had you on. Have you been playing more Rocket League?
That was my top-rated game with like 335 hours from last year when my PlayStation did those stats, which I was pretty shocked. But... then Modern Warfare, like, kind of picked up with, you know, a fair bit as well. So,
yeah.
I've been fun employed for the past, like, 6 months. So, aside from, like, getting my life back in order, I'm actually kind of bored. So, if anyone's got leads on part-time jobs, hit me up.
If you're listening to our podcast for the first time, fun fact, it doesn't pay the bills. So please do keep listening. Maybe we'll get some advertisers on board. But back to Matt's fun employment.
So it's given me more time to, you know, invest in being absolutely terrible at Rocket League. And also, I recently started, like, I'd never played it before. I recently started playing the Yakuza series, starting with number 3. I gotta say, I didn't know what I was missing out on until I started playing it. It's definitely something.
Is that a series that you've played, James?
No, I never really got into it. I played Shenmue a lot when it came out, which is kind of like, I guess, the spiritual predecessor, if that makes sense. But no, it's never really. I don't know if it would be my thing now. Maybe if I went on like a long holiday or something. But because they're quite long, aren't they, Matt?
It's kind of like it plays out very sort of like, you know, a lot of the cutscenes you can't skip because there's a lot of story stuff, and it's like a interactive movie, but, you know, with more action and crazy stuff. I mean, like, it's a huge game,
And there's like 7 of them now.
Yeah, well, the 7th there's in the particular story, I think there's like 7 or 8 because there's like 0, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then like Kiwami and whatever. And then apparently they're doing a reboot of the series because they've told as much story as they could with that one particular character's perspective.
I think the Kiwami one's a remake, though. I think.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier to keep track.
I basically just started with 3, and it's crazy. It's over the top. It literally has like... crane games and like mini game. It's, there's like half of the game is a life simulator, and the other half is you are a former head of the Yakuza, like, you know, like a division, and basically you go around beating people up and earning money and buying clothes and playing crane games and helping people take photos and finding locker keys and eating at restaurants and cooking and
just all the stuff that you love doing in video games.
Yeah, it's been an experience and a half. So yeah,
I'm surprised that it's not a game that you've sunk more time into, James, because you're always busy playing games. You've played so many games, and you played one for review this week.
I did. Yes. So
would you like to tell us more about
it? Yeah, I can. Sorry, every time. So I've played and actually finished Journey to the Savage Planet for review, and it surprised me a little bit because I don't know if you guys have seen much on it at all.
I watched one gameplay clip, and it seems to be that you just kind of roam around planets and just beat up the life forms there. Is there much more to it than
like
that?
You can do that, I guess. I kind of looked at it when I first saw stuff. I was like, oh, it's just like another kind of like indie, like randomly generated No Man's Sky kind of clone.
Yeah.
But it's actually not. It's actually more closer to something like Metroid Prime. In that, I've just had a I had an epiphany the other day where I realized some people might not know what Metroid Prime is because like I'm getting older, but it just like chucks you into, it's only one planet, so you don't get to like jump between them, I guess.
Right.
And the world is like, it's just like a big open world. There is a storyline. You've got to get like to the core of this like mysterious tower because you work for this hell dodgy like space exploration company. They're the fourth best space exploration company. So because of that, they have
no money.
That
feels like a reference to Fly the Conchords, like with the fourth best like comedy folk and duo in New Zealand.
It could be because Alex Hutchinson, who's the director, he is Australian. So previously worked on like big games like Assassin's Creed 3 and Far Cry 4. But yeah, it's very, very Metroid-y in terms of you explore a lot, and because the company you work for is so like budget, they haven't given you any equipment, so you have to find all the equipment on the planet and stuff. Same kind of humor, like kind of anti-capitalist humor as The Outer Worlds, I guess, is probably the closest comparison in terms of the humor. Uh-huh. A lot of like live action like videos shot in the game as like advertisements that you see every time you go on your ship, just for random products. One of them is even like real. Like if you pre-order from EB Games, I think it is, you get an actual pot of one of the products. It's like a wacky goo, which is really cool. It's like really like zany kind of sense of humor. Uh-huh. That I really liked. Like it wasn't too cringy. But like when you're actually playing the game, like you are just exploring, kind of just to get to the middle of the planet area. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of like platforming and there's a few little puzzles and like there's a bit of combat, which I didn't really like as much, which kind of like brought it down for me because combat did feel a bit flimsy.
Right. Okay. Was that just down to how it handled or?
I think it's just like these guys, they're like an indie studio. It's their first game. They have tried to do a lot and I just feel like maybe the combat, it just doesn't have, you know, when you shoot something in a game and like there's like a feeling, a good feeling.
It's got, like, a like, weight and meatiness.
It's got weight, and you can, when you hit something, you can tell you're doing damage or something. There just isn't a lot of, like, that. There's not a lot of visual feedback, so the feel of the shooting feels off. Feels like it's could need, like, use more work.
Okay.
But, like, as a game still, like, I was super impressed. Like, it's a big world that's been designed from bottom to top. Like, there's so much cool stuff, like, hidden. And I say in my review, like, it's really cool when you find something because you know the developers put that there for you to find it. And it's, like, not just this weird, like, lucky coincidence thing that you get with a lot of procedurally generated games.
Yeah.
And I just, like, yeah, I don't know. I just really enjoyed, like, thinking, oh, can I do this? And then you can do it. You know what I mean? It reminds me a lot of Prey in that way as well with the glue gun.
You can create
your own little platforms or paths and stuff. But yeah, like I like obviously big warning, it is pretty short for a game like this, I guess. Although like eight to 12 hours is what most people will probably finish it on. 20 if you want to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's priced at $60. Like I think that's pretty reasonable.
And what did you settle on it score wise?
I couldn't really get past the combat being so, like, flimsy and the worlds all looking kind of the same because it's, like, three different biomes.
Sure.
So I did settle with, like, 7.5. But I think that's a pretty good effort for, like, a first game.
Yeah, for sure.
It just sucks because their next game, they've just been bought by Stadia, so I don't know if I'll ever play their next game or not, but
yeah,
they did a great first job.
So. We finally got like two announcements from Stadia, and I think those are like the first ones in the last 40 days, and the product's been on sale for 69 or something, so yeah, shaky times for Stadia as well. No doubt we'll be talking about that more in future, but I can't resist the opportunity to segue into my topic for the day, which is derived from a Reddit Reset Era questionnaire that I saw come up in the last couple of days or two. You actually brought it to my attention, James. But it's about game length in particular. And it's something we've touched on the podcast in the past about, you know, what constitutes the ideals of the game length. But I was kind of surprised by the results of this poll. So the question was pretty simple. Is it better for a game to be A, too long, or B, too short? I should say it's a little too long or a little too short. So we're talking about kind of minutia here. But 70.3% of the respondents said that they would prefer the game to be a little too short rather than a little too long, which admittedly I wholeheartedly agree on. Brody, like you, I'm kind of struggle for time, and you know, my game time is kind of precious. So if I can kind of squeeze a full narrative out of a shorter period of time, I don't mind that. Would you be tempted to agree?
Yeah, because I think it's sort of the way you phrase it. Like if a game sort of runs a little bit too short, I guess in that sense, you are left with the feeling of wanting more. Mm. Whereas if it runs a little bit too long, you think, oh, geez, that could have wrapped up a little bit earlier. So I think the two options already have sort of sort of preconceptions about what they mean. I think one is clearly fair, negative and one isn't. But I do agree. I think like that's why I sort of always tend to lean to shooters like Call of Duty over shooters like, say, Battlefield, because Battlefield always tends to run a tad longer, I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, I like the shorter, more blockbuster, like sort of easy to consume stuff when I'm short for time. But
are you talking about like a multiplayer match or a story?
No, I was sort of talking from the story perspective. Okay. I guess Battlefield might have been a bad example because they do, or they're also quite short. But yeah, maybe versus a Far Cry or something like that. Something that like shoots in an open world that takes like 30, 40 hours to sort of get around. Like I'm finding I have less and less time for that these days. So to have a more linear experience is obviously something I prefer. Same with like things like Uncharted. Like I'll take Uncharted over, you know, a more open world, say Tomb Raider, any day of the week. Not just because of the quality and narrative, just because of how easier it is to consume.
Yeah, it's a bit more digestible, right? I think your example for Call of Duty and Battlefront works quite well from the multiplayer example as well, because if you're jumping into a Battlefield multiplayer match, you know, they can be quite lengthy. Yeah, you might be there for half an hour, where a COD game wraps up in, you know, what, 5 to 10 minutes, if that.
That's true.
So you can kind of have it in like piecemeal chunks like that too. Matt, do you prefer a game to be a little too long or a little too short?
Well, I was thinking about it when you were kind of mentioning, and I was going to go, no, I want it to be a bit too long because, you know, if I lose interest, at least that way I can go back to it. But after kind of thinking about it for, you know, about five or so minutes, I was like, no, I reckon too short is probably the better option because, it's going to cause outrage. People go, oh, it's too short. It should have been longer, blah, blah, you know. But at the same time, I think the way gaming in general is moving is people are preferring those sort of, you know, quick instances rather than, you know, like a lot of people still like sitting down and spending time with games, but you know, with the way that's like, I feel, you know, society's moving, is people like to sit down with something really quick and you know, get in, do what they need to do, and you know, get out or play it in short bursts. And I guess if it's a shorter game, you know, it's easier to play in shorter bursts than if it's a, you know, a longer story game, because you start to get overwhelmed with the amount of time that you want to invest in a game like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's why, like, even when I was working full time and basically had, you know, almost no free time, I remember getting into like God of War, and God of War wasn't an excessively long game, but I found even at that point in time, I lost track of it because of, you know, how much time it was worth to invest in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found myself going back to things like Rocket League, Fortnite, Apex Legends, because they're things that you can just dive into, play a bit, and then get out. And, you know, while they don't have any sort of, you know, narrative attachment to it, yeah, I feel like they were just the way to go, and it was easy to kind of just jump in, play a bit. But even stuff like when I played Fire Emblem, you could get into Fire Emblem and you could play a bit and then you could stop. You could play a bit, you could stop. It was mission-based, so you could play a mission and then stop.
Hmm.
And, you know, it was very, you know, in the end, I found like, oh, the story kind of ended. I was like, okay, maybe I want to play it again. So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, two shorts probably the way to go compared to too long. So.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up God of War, because that was an example that kind of sprung to my mind too. I'd argue that that game maybe verged slightly on the little bit too long, but I know that's very much sort of up for debate. But yeah, it took me kind of more sessions to play through that single player story than I think I would have liked. You know, had I been able to beat it kind of comfortably in 3 or 4, which, you know, granted I could have done, but given my schedule, that was not possible. I would have enjoyed it more. It's almost kind of, you jump in, you're like, okay, where was I? Like, what was happening in the story? What's going on here? You kind of, that disconnect kind of removes you from the immersion side of it. Yeah,
if you leave it too long, you just lose track of everything. Yeah. And then you don't have that same investment that you did the first time around. So.
I think The Witcher 3 was quite clever in that it would give you those little story recaps as it kind of loaded parts of the game. I thought that was quite a clever way to keep you up to speed with it. James, I take it based from your review of Journey to the Savage Planet that you kind of tend to like games being a little shorter. Are there examples you can think of where maybe they're a little too long?
It depends.
Or a little short?
Like, I've always thought that it's always better for you to finish a game wanting more rather than you pushing yourself through it to finish it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really good way to think about it.
And I think, like, controversial, like, opinion, I guess, but Uncharted 4 as an example, like, I felt like that was a bit too long. And I do think that by the time I finished it, because I did push myself through it, because, as I've said before on the podcast, like, I just felt like the game got in the way of the story at some point.
Yeah.
I don't, now I'm just like, well, I don't feel like I've need anymore. Like, I feel like I've played enough Uncharted, like, forever.
How dare you?
Maybe Ms. Uncharted, whenever that comes out, you know, that's my headcanon for the next game. Just becomes Tomb Raider. But like, yeah, I think shorter is, I don't know, like, it's hard because, like, as an example, like, Final Fantasy 15, is a game that I've probably bought 3 times digitally, and I've never gone to play it because I just think about how long it's going to be, and I just think I'm not going to be able to put that much time into it, like, so that I don't even bother playing it.
And Final Fantasy 15 is an interesting one because it was obviously meant to be so much longer as well. As far as Final Fantasy games go, it's probably on the shorter side, right?
Yeah, I just think, like pacing is everything. In games, especially, and when you have to just really push yourself, I just wish, like, developers, I guess, weren't afraid to kind of chop out stuff that's just not working or, like, just breaks up the flow of a game or something. Because I do, and I think I tweeted about it a few weeks ago, like, I do think that we're kind of getting a little bit too obsessed with, like with the Assassin's Creed rumors, like, the biggest open world ever, and it's like, Odyssey and Origins were so big already.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think they need to be bigger. Like, it doesn't really add much more to the experience.
Quality over quantity, right?
Yeah. Literally. And even then, like, I'm a staunch defender of Origins and Odyssey, but, like, there is a lot to do in those games. And I did everything in Origins, not everything in Odyssey. But, like, that was a lot of time. And I don't even know why. Well, I don't know, like, achievements, of course.
Yeah. But, I wonder why that is, like why they don't just kind of cut things out. I mean, maybe because it's just everything, like, takes so long to create, and you can see the labor and the money that's kind of gone into making aspects of games. So it's like, we can't get rid of that, you know, so-and-so spent 4 months making that character model or whatever. Like,
I think, I don't know if it's that. I've got a feeling it's just something to do with the fact that developers these days, they don't really want you to just buy a game. They want you to buy a game and then continue playing it and getting all that, then play the updates. Like, it's this whole, like, games as a service thing, right? Like, this idea that you have to keep playing the game. Like, Hitman. Like, I keep going back. That's the Hitman's a bit different because that's a very focused thing. But I boot that up, like, out of almost what's obligation now, whenever there's, like, a new target. I don't actually play it. I just do the target and leave it. I would love to go back to the game, sure, but I just can't at the moment.
Yeah.
But just stuff like that. I don't, like, I'm all for short games.
Mm.
I just, like, and I hate that, this kind of ties into this other stuff, is, like, obviously, when you're paying for a game that's full price, I think developers or publishers are finding it harder to convince people to do that when games like, say, Fortnite and Apex exist, because they're free to start. And then the games that cost money, like, people are like, well, I've paid this much for it, so, like, the expectation is, I guess, that it should last for ages. Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess it's, like, it's just really hard, like, trying to appeal to everybody, but also trying to get people to pay for your game. I don't know.
It's a hard
I think
balance.
It all just comes down to price, really.
Yeah.
Like, just if something's like with Sony, like, their smaller games are priced at $54.95, and then their big epics are $99.95, like, whereas Nintendo tried to charge $80 for, like, Kirby, which they also tried to charge for Zelda, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's
I kind of worry it's so hard, kind of, because you start to put a price to the time that someone spends playing a game, and I think that kind of becomes a bit dangerous. But yeah, setting expectations through price, I think, certainly works for sure. You know, if you spend $40 in a game and it's something you kind of complete comfortably in 4 hours, let's say, you don't really kind of bat an eyelid at that. But if you're spending full price on a game and you're done with it after 4 hours, it tends to leave that was way too short feeling.
But if those, like, 4 hours are, like, amazing, or, like, really, mm-hmm. really gripping, or, like, really good storytelling and stuff, like, that is worth it, but I don't think everyone looks at it like that, which sucks.
No, 100%.
There's more quantifiers than just how long it takes. I mean, you know, a game could take 4 hours and it could be the worst 4 hours of your life. Mm. An amazing game could take an hour and a half, and you know, it's the one that you recommend you go back to because it's the story that catches you. But it's really hard to quantify. You know, like, a game could be too short, but it also could be, like, too short and not worth playing because it doesn't offer anything. So.
Mm.
It's tough.
Heaps to take into consideration. Brody, what would you like to talk about this week?
Yeah, speaking of games that James will definitely play and pay money for, Resident Evil 8 was rumored this week, I believe, or announced. It's been reported. So let's just
another week,
coming.
Another Resident Evil rumor.
Yeah, crazy. So let's add it to the complete oversaturation of Resident Evil games coming now. seems like they've worked out how to just, you know, milk that teat just right.
We had nothing for so long. It's fine. Thanks.
Okay, so let's just bring out four in a year. That's all right. But anyway, I want to... Let's just run through some of the facts. Well, the facts, rumors...
No facts.
facts that are part of the leak.
Yeah. Let's run through these leaked facts. So,
maybe facts.
Ethan, apparently returning as a playable character. So I want to play a little game here. There's some of these facts that... Well, I keep saying facts. Rumors. Leaks. Tidbits. That are, you know, could be open to interpretation. And now that... Being that James is, you know, as he's got his, you know, his finger on the pulse with
Resident
everything
Evil.
Resident
Evil obsessed. He's probably wearing a Resident Evil t-shirt right now.
Did you buy that keyboard, James?
The typewriter?
The typewriter. Yeah.
No, I didn't. Think did. Why does everyone think I bought it? I was responsible.
You banged on about it for so long.
Yeah, you were
long.
Obsessing about it. That's why I wanted to know.
All right, so I just want to play. I just want a little segment.
To be honest, okay, Matt, I put it in my cart about 3 times, just so you know.
you tweeted every time you did. That's why I wondered if you bought it.
I honestly thought you'd bought two. I thought there was something you'd bought two of.
I bought two of the... I mean, I don't want to talk about it, but I bought two of the collector's edition. Because that's
James,
just me.
You don't need to justify
box,
your purchases to anyone.
I'm about to buy a $500 SpongeBob SquarePants edition, so it's totally cool.
Oh. Hey, anyway. I bought a $700 Oculus. I've played once, so let's move past it. All right, so let's just have a little run through these, and let's introduce a segment called James Knows Capcom, because I want to know how close James is going to guess some of these things based on his intimate knowledge
of
Resident Evil.
He's read them all up already, hasn't he?
So, The game will not be called Resident Evil 8, James. It will have a clever title. Oh. So tell me, where are they going to put the 8 in the title? Is it going to be Resident 8ville? Is it going to be Biohazard?
Resident Dateville.
It's actually a dating sim. You date the zombies.
I think that makes sense, though, because like Resident Evil 7's title was a bit like, you know, Resident Evil Biohazard kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Trying to go
How
square
did
full
do
square.
Do that again? What's that with the Roman? No.
The V I L,
yeah,
was highlighted with V I I.
Yeah.
Now, it was like a soft reboot kind of.
And they say it's going to involve villages and castles and Europe, but Chris Redfield's going to be back. So is this going to be like main canon? Do you think, or is it going to be like an offshoot?
Nah, like, it'll be main canon. What do you like?
But how? I don't know. Well, it's, yeah, well, obviously, but I'm saying it could it be a little offshoot? Like, I don't know. Could it be a spin-off? It's got werewolves, for Christ's sake, apparently.
An alternate universe.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Is it actually
James knows Capcom.
Nah, it'll be, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. I think,
Who will the persistent female enemy be?
Well, apparently it's like a witch. And like,
oh,
and like witches and werewolves. Like, it's like, is this Resident Evil? but then a lot of people kind of want them to just go like balls to the wall with something completely different, which I understand.
I'd be down for that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, but you haven't played any of them.
Yeah, I know.
So
but
like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Not winning me over yet. But if you've got witches and werewolves and supernatural stuff in there, I'm down for it.
Well, yeah, because like a few, one of the games started off as like. You were infected, and a lot of the supernatural stuff you saw was hallucinated.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they'll go that route, because Capcom has this thing where they make a version of a game, cancel it, and then kind of reincorporate that stuff into future games. Like, they never really waste anything they do. As for this, like, I apparently there's been some playtesting sessions that have happened a few months ago.
Yeah.
So that's where people are thinking this rumor has come from.
Mm-hmm.
I think. It's a strange new direction, they don't want to do the same thing over and over again, I guess, and become what, I guess, Resident Evil 6 was, where it just becomes this, like, bloated mess where it's, like, trying to incorporate everything from everywhere all at once.
Are you glad they're sticking with first person?
Yeah, I think so. I loved 7, you guys probably both know. I think, like, Brody, did you play 7?
Yeah, it's the only Resident Evil game I've actually finished. I played it like 3 or 4 times. Yeah, I played it like 3 or 4 times. Yeah. I loved it.
And I kind of hope that this signifies that they're going to keep going with VR, because I genuinely think 7 was just taken to like a whole other level with VR. Like, it was just so good. And it was probably the longest Resident Evil game for me, because I had to take so many breaks because it's so like emotionally exhausting to play in VR.
Yeah. I was just watching someone play and I was like, whoa, I need a timeout.
Yeah. So I really hope that they kind of stick with that. I don't know if like it's a huge, I think it was only 10% of players used VR. Capcom put that figure out at some point. But I'd be interested to see if that would increase.
I'll say, but when you consider the attach rate of VR in the first place, like, that's still fairly high.
Yeah, true.
But, like, I would be interested to see if they, because they never released the VR mode for PC like they were apparently going to, if that would have improved with the Vive or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I think it sounds interesting. I do think that after this remake of 3 comes out, you're not going to hear from Resident Evil for a while.
How far away do you think this game might be?
Prediction. I think there'll be a new Resident Evil next year, and it won't be like a mainline. It'll be something random, and then after that, I think you'll be waiting for like 2 to 3 years for like Resident Evil 8. So,
right.
Oh,
does that make sense?
So you don't think this coming out for another 2 years?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. James predicts. James knows Capcom.
I just feel like. Yes, Capcom has almost annualized Resident Evil, but I feel like they're also not stupid. I think they're going to be a bit smart about it going forward.
Hmm.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like they could really have like a hardcore sort of horror series running alongside their remasters, which are maybe a bit more action.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not quite so intense in the horror. kind of two games that appeal to slightly different audiences.
It could be similar to like... I was going to say, it could be like how Activision handle Call of Duty, like give it to two different teams and like alternate year to year.
Yeah. Well, that's what's, like, happened with like RE3. Like, that's made by another team they've built inside Capcom.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so they can alternate, I guess. But they used to do that. One of you said it, Brody or Ewan. like, they used to have the main series, and they had Resident Evil Revelations, which is like a side series where they try more weird stuff.
Yeah.
But they've kind of stepped away from that now. But maybe we're going to get a new Revelations next year or something, like a lower budget. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like... I feel like this leak is based on old info, but there will be elements of it in the actual final product. It just seems a bit too, like, experimental.
He seems like a man than to know. I reckon he knows more than he's letting on.
James, he's got some inside source. I can't help it that I come across as convincing and charismatic. I'm sorry.
All right, well, we're starting to run a little bit long, but we've got time for Matt's topic. Matt, what would you like to discuss this week?
That's all right. My topic only goes for a really short amount of time.
Nice. We like short games and short topics.
Short game, short topics, and really confusing things. So the info that dropped today that I had no idea. So I reviewed Ghost Recon Breakpoint late last year.
And how was it?
How unfortunate for you?
Quite disappointed by it. It was unfortunate because I got to see the Ghost War mode in a separate thing, and I actually really liked it. Then getting into the actual game experience itself was like a big letdown because I had high hopes for it. So when it came out, I was like, oh, okay, is that the best you can do? And everyone's like, no, but it'll get better. It'll get better. I'm like, these kind of games, it's like you either, you know, you have a set fan base that'll play it regardless, but everyone else that you want to try and convince to come over is not going to be convinced if the game is not good off of that.
So, cough, cough, Anthem, cough, cough.
Yeah. $4 at Big W.
Ouch.
Anyway. No, the thing that dropped today, which I was confused and like, I almost considered loading the game up just to play it, was there was a Terminator live event that's dropped for the game. So basically it involves something to do with the island manufacturing Terminators, and you I think you Wild. Hunt them down and you kill them, or they hunt you down and kill
that
you.
That fits
or whatever.
Pretty well, kind of, though.
Yeah,
does
yeah.
it?
Like the idea of that,
to like a degree. Tactical stealth shooter.
No, the island did like, Breakpoint is like a tech production.
It is
facility.
So it's like a
right. Okay.
It's like a tech haven, and you know, like it's the part one is like being hunted by the Terminator, and then part two is like finding the factory where they're making them and everything, and whatever, and you know, hunting them back, or I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, we sort of joke about this, but it actually sounds like the best Terminator game made in like the last 10 years. So.
the best Terminator game, yeah, but like it's attached to Ghost Recon, so like
yeah, well,
there's been so many Terminator tie-ins. I feel like Gears of War had one. I feel like there was another one as well.
Gears did
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, that's right.
Yeah. Gears did it, but I didn't play it. Mortal Kombat did it, and they basically played it two ways because a lot of it's leaning off, you know, the film that came out last year, which you know, in my opinion, was total junk. They're still trying to keep it relevant, still trying to maintain that whole relevance thing. But the thing that confuses me the most is that a lot of the tie-ins, rather than linking to you know, the current film. Mm-hmm. Are linking to more of Terminator's history. So, like, in Gears, Brody was saying earlier that you know, the T-800, which is the classic Terminator that we know and love, is like the enemy in the game. But in the Dark Fate, it's not the enemy because the futures change and blah blah blah. And it's the same sort of thing as in you know, Ghost Recon, is the T-800 is the enemy in the game, and you know, that's changed because of the future, right, and everything. So I feel like it's just convoluting things a lot more, because instead of focusing, you're either trying to focus on the brand itself, or you're trying to focus on the movie as a tie-in.
Yeah, let's be real, like the Terminator timeline has been fucking a mess since you know, Rise of the Machines, yeah. Like it's garbage. So you know, if they just want to pick the cool things, and like, because you know, T-800 fucking cool. Old Sarah Connor, fucking cool. So if they want to bring the cool stuff forward, you know, I think we should just accept that and accept it for the coolness that it is.
Yeah, I mean,
if they're gonna, they can't make Terminator make any sense and still make it cool because it's just past that.
Yeah,
it's
not happening. Yeah, I don't know why they don't just kind of keep it simple. Like, I don't know if this is if you guys are gonna roll your eyes at this, but I think the movie tie-ins that Fortnite have done are really cool. Like, they're not unnecessarily kind of connected to the plot of the film. They've just kind of thrown the kind of cast of characters into like
the Star
game
Wars one.
What wasn't a major plot point of Star Wars like announced through Fortnite?
No, they just showed a clip from the movie. Like it was just there was just the event, and
Ewan,
they showed
the Palpatine voice message that's referred to in the opening crawl of Rise of Skywalker.
The dead speak
is only in Fortnite.
Shoot, you're right. What? You are right. Which I just thought about that a little bit.
Yeah, but I feel like Fortnite works a bit better because Fortnite is basically an advertising platform too. Yeah. Like it's going, hey, this is a movie tie-in. What's coming.
Yeah. All I've learned is that if I want to soak up the true Birds of Prey experience, as I will, as a DC stan, I have to play Fortnite now to get the whole picture. It's infuriating.
Yeah. Yeah, they really should just like throw in the skins and not kind of convolute it overly much. You're right. I'm trying to think what movie tie-ins that we've been deprived of that I'd really like. Pirates of the Caribbean and Sea of Thieves. That could be cool.
Kill Bill in Hitman.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
That's a good shout.
That'd be fun.
Mm.
What else is there? Oh, I'm so excited.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, Django in Red Dead Redemption 2. That doesn't line up to quite right time-wise.
Just do a Quentin Tarantino collection.
that'd be really cool.
I feel like Once Upon a Time would work better in GTA because...
Yeah, of course. I didn't even think of that. But
not had like an early Hollywood-era GTA game? That'd be
Of what L.A. Noire was going for?
Yeah, we did, and then it bankrupted the Bondi studio.
But it was all very noir. Like, it wasn't the sort of flamboyant, over-the-top glitz and glam of early Hollywood.
What about the Golden Age of Hollywood, wasn't it? Or was it L.A.? Wait. You know,
edit
that out.
Wow.
No, but it was like more noir sort of detective sleuthing and stuff. It's more the tone and the feel I'm talking about.
Oh, we could have had like Blade Runner in Detroit.
Oh, Blade Runner in Cyberpunk.
Blade Runner in Cyberpunk, yeah. There you go.
Ooh.
Desperate Housewives and Animal Crossing, we've already talked about that. Or Twin Peaks, mate, that's a crossing.
Twin Peaks and Alan Wake.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that...
Has there ever been a murder
mystery in Animal Crossing? Like, has any of the Animal Crossing like town inhabitants ever just like been found and murdered one morning and you've got to solve the case?
Are you trying to make like Animal Crossing Silent Hill or something?
I'd be so down for that. Can you imagine? Make that game. And I think with that, I think it's time we move on to What the Wiki, which, if you're unfamiliar with, is the Starcast. Sorry, not the Starcast. The Press Start podcast. I wondered how long it was going to take me to get that wrong. The Press Start podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins the round and takes home the points, as we had James win the first round last week and open up the point scoring for this season. He will be today's host, and Matt, Brody, and myself will have to guess the games that he has prepared for us. James, take it away.
Is there a theme, James?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I'll explain it later, but there isn't really. I had to do this really quick, so hopefully it goes well.
Oh, no.
The game is a single-player action role-playing game in which the player takes the role of someone from a third-person perspective. Already stuffed up the first sentence. The game features six different character classes for the player to choose from, each class proficient in a different set of powers and weapon types. Combat is squad-based, and a maximum of two squad members may accompany the player on the battlefield. The player has direct control of themselves, while the squad members are controlled by the game's artificial intelligence. Battles take place in real time, but the player can pause the action at any time to calmly target enemies and select different powers for the squad members to use. The game uses an over-the-shoulder perspective akin to a third-person shooter and places a strong emphasis on using cover to avoid taking damage while fighting enemy forces. Unlike the original game, where weapons...
Matt,
Yes, Matt.
Is it Mass Effect 2?
It is Mass Effect 2. Well done.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Turned 10 this week.
Wow.
Which is kind of nuts. Yeah.
What a game.
That goes back to your last week's podcast of, you know, are we getting old? It's like, yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Be a perfect like, time to release a remastered
collection. That's
the theme,
Brody. We're getting old.
I think Eurogamer did a really good feature on, like, that suicide mission. Man, what a mission that was. That was a good time.
And the whole then we game got three, was quite we were great. Let down by...
Walking man onto Omega for the first time is like, whew, amazing moment.
I remember when Mass Effect 2 came out. Me and my friend played like I think 28 out of a possible 34 hours, like in just like one like sitting more or less. It was just gross. Yeah. We had like two TVs like set up, and we like I think we finished the game within like 20 minutes of each other. Like we just both played straight through it. It was stupid, but anyway,
I experienced the human Reaper together.
I remember doing a second playthrough because I lost a character in the final run. I was like, no, that's not good enough. I'm going through and playing it again.
That's not right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Next. The game is an online multiplayer-only first-person shooter video game developed by Zipper Interactive for the PlayStation 3.
Matt.
I swear to God, this is Matt. This is Mag, isn't it?
It is Mag.
That is such a Matt game. I knew it.
Like, is it really?
Yeah. Matt is the only person who ever talks about Mag. Yeah.
The moment
when you said that, I was like, no, this is one of these games that Matt talks about all the time. What's it called?
Oh, no, shit. I'm so sorry.
The moment you said Zipper Interactive PlayStation 3, I went, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know this. I know this because it's the only game they ever made. Yeah.
Well, that's 10 years old this week as well, so...
You couldn't have picked a more perfect gracious. Matt
and it's,
game.
It's been... Well, it's 10 years old, but it's been dead for, like, 5.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. So you're saying that Matt's dreams died 5 years ago.
I don't think anybody actually played that stupid game. I'm sorry.
Holy mackerel, I can't believe you picked Mag on the week that Matt was on here.
Yeah, I feel like this was all planned. This feels like a setup, Brody.
I feel like absolute. I've been left out of some joke. I didn't know anyone played Mag on the team.
Matt's always banging on. I swear like every review I've ever read from Matt, it's like somewhere in like the
he
final paragraph.
Mag
he's
in
like,
everyone.
It's all right, but it's not Mag.
God. No, it's only for like subpar shooters.
I'm lost for words, but Matt, you've done it. You've equaled James with 1 point each there. Matt, you know what this means. You're gonna have to come back next week and host What the Wiki.
Yes, I will.
You down for that?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. So James will be back in the contestant seat and vying again to take the lead. But maybe Brody and I, if Matt's nice and feeds us some more points like James just did for Matt.
Oh my God, I didn't even know.
we'll get up into the contention as well. But with that, Matt, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on the podcast service of your choice, Spotify now included. Follow us at press.au and visit the site, of course, at press.com. If you have anything you would like us to talk about on the show, you've got any topic suggestions of your own, maybe a game for Matt to quiz us with on What the Wiki next week, hit us all up on Twitter. We've been joined today by James.
Yes, you can find me on at James, so @ATJAMZ. I don't know what I've tweeted in the last 2 days. It's been a bit of a blur. But
if you're playing look. Journey to the Savage Planet, let James know what you thought of it.
Yes.
We've also been joined today by Brody.
Yes, thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG. If you would get Matt to maybe make one of the What the Wiki games, Vader Immortal, because it's the only thing I've played this year, I'd appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Maybe he can make one of the games, the PlayStation 1 classic, 40 Winks, although I think I've already done that before.
You did it at the live one.
I did it at the live one. You're right. I did it to you guys. So you're very true.
Yeah.
We've also been joined today and taken home the points. It was Matt.
Woo! You can follow me on Twitter at MVZamari. I always have to remember because one's one and one's the other. I was going to give you my Insta handle.
But how profound.
Are your Insta handle and your Twitter handle different?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, they are.
I hadn't noticed that.
Because I want to be difficult. hit me up with game suggestions or job prospects. especially if you're in Melbourne and you work in, like, you know, video games or something. I'm always down to chat. Yeah.
Lovely. And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ewan_Roxburgh. That sounds like I was throwing shade there. I didn't mean for that. But yes, my Twitter and Instagram are the same at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Goodbye. Adios.